Chapter 6. Krishna's glories are inconceivable. All of the incarnations of Bhagavan are the same in quality. Just as from one candle we can light 10 candles, and all will be the same in quality. Which one is the original, and which ones were lit from that, we can't tell. Etach cha vrindavipine ga antur, ritva ba vatsan anubhutam asti, Shri Brahmana dvaravati pure cha, prasada varigeshu maya brahmitva. Brihat Bhagavatam 2.4.164. Narad is saying, when Brahma stole the boys and calves in Vrindavan, he experienced how Sri Krishna, the killer of the Aga demon, is one and yet expands into many. And I myself experienced it when I visited his palaces in Dwarka. In Vrindavan, the mothers and fathers of the gopis and gopas, upon seeing the beauty and sweetness of Krishna, his speech, his behavior, all of his charming sweetness, the desire comes in them that he be their son. At the time when the cows are giving milk to their calves, they think, sometimes Krishna comes and drinks our milk with his own mouth. We desire that he be our calf so we can feed him milk. In Brajamandal, there are so many cows, mothers, and mothers who already have sons, and they all desire that Krishna become their son, so they can feed him milk and show him motherly affection. Not so much when Krishna enters the houses, steals milk, and drinks it, but in the late afternoon, when Krishna returns from taking the cows out to graze, at that time, Mother Yashoda gives him motherly affection and wipes his face, and all the mothers and cows desire very strongly in their hearts that Krishna be their son. Leaving their own children, all the mothers come to look after Krishna. Then they return to their own children, take them in their laps, wipe their faces, and give them all affection. Krishna knows this desire. How does he know? It says in one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that when Krishna is playing with the gopis and is fully absorbed in Leela, he forgets everything. Where am I? Any loss or gain in this for himself in this activity, any loss or gain for the world, all of this is forgotten. At this time, if some enemy attacks, what will happen? A rakshasa like Agasura and Bakasura may come, but everything will be forgotten. All household duties, eating, drinking, bathing, all is forgotten. He is so absorbed in relishing the prem of the gopis that all is forgotten, and he is aware of nothing else. The affection of his mothers, the affection of his friends, all is forgotten. Regarding that time, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur asks a question. You devotees are praying, O Krishna Chandra, give me the darshan of your lotus feet. And you are crying and crying, but who will hear this prayer? Krishna has already forgotten everything. When Krishna has forgotten everything, then sarvajñata, or his quality of knowing what is in everyone's heart, is diminished. That is an aspect of Aishwarya, one of his opulences. At that time, when he is supremely absorbed, sometimes falling at the feet of the gopis, trying to appease them, serving them, and receiving service from them, he is so absorbed in this that he forgets all other things of the world. All sarvajñata has been abandoned, and all six kinds of opulences have been forgotten. Then who will hear your prayer? Knowing everything is a quality of Aishwarya. So if it comes at this time, the mood of Madhurya will be disturbed. So who will come to hear this prayer? This is the big problem. We are praying, and that is meaningless. If there is no listener, certainly it will be meaningless. Paramatma is Krishna's expansion. He exists everywhere as the all-pervading witness. Will he know? But if we are praying directly to Govinda and only Paramatma is aware of it, what does it matter? We are praying to the king and the doorman is listening. What will the benefit of that be? We won't be satisfied with that. So what then? Our prayer will not go directly to Krishna. If our prayer doesn't reach Krishna's ears, then it is as if we are crying and no one can hear. And if no one hears, then who will do something to relieve that crying? If a small baby is crying for milk and no one hears him, what will he do? Therefore, our crying will be like that. But don't worry, don't be disturbed. Krishna will hear. We may think, but how? If he listens, it will be Aishwarya. To resolve this, Krishna possesses two qualities. He is simultaneously Mugdha and Sarvajna. What is the meaning of Mugdha? Becoming so spellbound in love that it is just as if he doesn't know anything. Yashoda grabs his ear and says, "You go to the corner and continuously sit down and stand again. Don't you steal any more." And he will really do it. Taking a small stick, Yashoda will say, "Today you will not get away without a beating." And Krishna will say, "Mother, don't hit me," with tears coming from his eyes. This is called Mugdhata, being spellbound in emotion. Fear itself is afraid of him, yet he becomes frightened when Mother Yashoda approaches him with a stick. She will not beat him. She just says that she will. But he cries and the tears are flowing. Here, is Krishna really crying, or is he just making a show of it? Ordinary people will say, "Bhagavan will cry? He won't cry. How could he cry? What could he possibly be afraid of?" But premi devotees will say that he is really crying, and this is called Mugdhata. If Jarasandha, Putana, Agasura, Bakasura, Kamsa, and Narakasura come, then this young boy named Krishna kills them. This is his quality, a Sarva Shaktimata, having all power. He is as well known for this as he is for knowing everything. Yet at the same time, he becomes spellbound in Leela. For example, once Krishna called for Uddhav. "Uddhav, come here. Today we have a serious problem." Uddhav replied, "What is it, my lord?" "Today, from Hastinapur, an invitation to the Rajasuriya Yajna has come, and tomorrow it will commence there. In the opposite direction, Jarasandha is causing a great disturbance, and it is necessary to kill him. We should do both things, but I can't understand how. You are a clever, intelligent man, my minister and friend. You tell me, what should I do? Should we go now to the Pandavas Rajasuya Yajna, or should we go and kill Jarasandha?" Uddhava thought, "Look at this. Swayam Bhagavan, who knows all and has all powers, is asking me. And it seems that he is really asking, not that he is just giving me respect. It seems that he is not just playing the part of a king, and that he is not just observing the formality of taking advice from a minister. Is Krishna really just observing this formality, or is he sincerely asking? It seems from looking at his face that he is sincerely asking me." Then Uddhava replied, "Prabhu, According to my consideration, it will be good if we go now to the Rajasuya Yagya in Hastinapur. We can accomplish both objectives with one action. For completion of the sacrifice, a horse will be sent off so that any king who wants to present a challenge may do so, and you and Arjun can follow behind it. Please take Bhim also. Eventually, that horse will arrive in Magadha, province of Jarasandha, and you can kill him there. Then the Rajasuya Yagya will be completed, and you can kill Jarasandha also. Krishna patted Uddhava on the back. He was very, very pleased. He could not make the decision himself, and when his prime minister gave such wise advice, he was very pleased. So Bhagavan is both Mugdha and Sarvagya at the same time. This is not a fault, but rather by his inconceivable potency, it is one of his qualities. It is stated in the Vedanta Sutra that all contradictory qualities are completely harmonized in Krishna. Viruddha dharmam tasmin na chitram. In Krishna, both Mugdhata and Sarvagyata are going on together, and there is no fault in this. This is not possible for anyone else. If any human being says that they possess this quality, they are only a fraud. Krishna is Sarvagya like this. When the Rasalila starts, Krishna sees so many gopis, and they are all desiring that Krishna will be with me only. He will appease me, and I will be the most fortunate. Krishna knows this, and he dances in such a way that it appears that between every two gopis is one Krishna, and he fulfills their desires. This is Sarvagyata. Such Sarvagyata is not even seen in Ram or Narayan. Along with this, when Srimati Radhika disappears from the rasa dance, Krishna thinks, where has she gone? He doesn't know. He is Sarvagya, but still he becomes upset and cries for her. Just as Ramchandra really cries for Sita Devi. Here Krishna is really crying for Radhika. And when they reunite, he becomes hers only. She says, today you decorate my hair. And taking a flower, he follows behind her. She says, I am unable to walk any further. And he takes her on his shoulders. All of these things are Mugdhata. This is the very pinnacle of both rasa and Bhagavata, or Bhagavan's nature as the Supreme. Regarding the older gopis, they all desired that Krishna would become their son, and all of the cows desired that Krishna would become their calf. Krishna saw that drinking the milk of one mother would not fill his stomach. The love of one mother would not be sufficient. Similarly, the love of one gopi is not sufficient for him. For him, millions of gopis are necessary. He desires the affection of millions of mothers, and that will fill his stomach. Therefore, one day he thought, today in Braj, I will have millions of mothers. I will marry millions of gopis, and I will become a calf of millions of cows. Let's see, how will I do it? By connection with the Antaryami, it could be done. But in this human-like form, in Naralila, it will be very difficult. For this purpose, he bewildered Brahma. He sent inspiration into the heart of Brahma to come there to Braj. When Brahma saw the killing of Agasura and thought, this is a marvelous thing. How did this young cowherd boy give liberation to that demon? To see more pastimes of Krishna, Brahma could have prayed like this. Prabhu, I want to see more of your Leela. Please be merciful to me and show me your pastimes. It is an ordinary prayer, and Krishna would have fulfilled it. But Brahma didn't do this. He thought, all right, I will see more of his activities for myself. One way to find out what you want to know is to ask someone. Another way is to just sit patiently and wait for someone to automatically tell you. Leaving aside the desire to know, one may think, if I am qualified to understand, then he will tell me. But instead, in order to find out something for himself, Brahma thought, I will place an obstacle in his way. How did this idea come into his mind? In the form of Chaitya Guru, Bhagavan causes something to arise in someone's heart. He himself inspired this idea within Brahma, so Brahma would place an obstacle in his lila, and then Krishna would be able to fulfill all of his objectives, yet still remain within Naralila, his human-like pastimes. Therefore, in the afternoon of the same day, he gave mukti to Agasura. Krishna was with the other cowherd boys. They were very hungry, so they all sat down to eat with great eagerness and great love. While laughing and playing and amusing one another, they were eating. Brahma observed this and thought, this is the right time. The calves had continued moving on. By the influence of Yogamaya, they had seen some especially green grass for grazing, so they went further and further ahead until they were very far away. Meanwhile, the Sakas were still eating, and when the calves were beyond the eyesight of everyone, Brahma stole them. Some say that he took them to his own Brahmaloka, and some say that he hid them in the caves of Govardhan. Govardhan is quite extensive, and there are many caves there. When they didn't see the calves, the boys said, "Where have all the calves gone?" Krishna suggested, "I will go and bring them back myself. I will just play the flute, and they will return of their own accord. You all just continue eating. I am going." Why did Krishna do this? To play a trick on Brahma, and so he could become the boys and calves himself. Therefore, he arranged precisely what Brahma desired, that he would somehow become separated from the other boys. Brahma saw this and thought, the very thing I desired has now happened. I wanted to kidnap the boys when Krishna was not watching, and now I have the perfect opportunity. Of his own accord, Krishna has gone away. Krishna went away. And how did he go? In the carefree manner of a young cowherd, with a handful of yogurt and rice. But searching and searching, he thought, where have the calves gone? This is also Mugdata. After a little while, when he couldn't find the calves, he returned to the lunch area and saw that the boys had also vanished. Brahma had also taken them and confined them within a cave. Krishna actually didn't know anything. Searching and searching, he couldn't see his friends, and the calves were nowhere to be found. He still had that uneaten rice in his hand, and his face became withered with unhappiness. He became overwhelmed with fear, thinking, "What will I say to all their mothers? All the calves have been lost, and now I do not see the boys either. What will I tell all the mothers of the Brajabasis?" Krishna was very worried. His limbs were covered with dust, and his face was withered from hunger, thirst, and unhappiness. Sarvagyata was absent here. After a little while, Yogamaya thought, "I should offer some service." She suddenly appeared there to render service, and then Krishna remembered, "Oh yes, through Yogamaya I engineered this entire situation to create this pastime and to fulfill the desires of the Brajavasis." Then Krishna expanded and assumed forms identical to those boys and calves. He sat his friends back down and fed them himself, and everyone was very happy. Their eating, drinking, and laughing went on as it had before. And then, in the late afternoon, they all returned to their homes. All the mothers thought, "Ah, my son has returned." Previously, they had gone first to Krishna to look after him and give him motherly affection, and then attended to their own children. But that day, they all looked after their own children first and forgot about Krishna. Only Yashoda looked after Krishna, and the rest of the mothers looked after their own children. That day, the cows disregarded their younger calves and showed more attention to the older calves who had returned from the forest with Krishna, feeding them milk and licking them. For 1 year, the Leela went on like this. Then Baladev Prabhu thought, "What is this? The cows have come running from Govardhan, and the cows are showing affection first to the older ones, not caring for the younger ones. Why is this? And the mothers who used to attend to Krishna first are now tending to their own children first. Why? What has happened? Why is it like this?" Because Krishna had become those children and calves himself, he received much more affection. All of the mothers and cows had their desire to have Krishna as their son or calf fulfilled, and he received the affection that he desired from millions of mothers. Also in that very year, he married millions of kishoris. Through all those boys that he became, he married all the young girls of Vrindavan. So all of his objectives were accomplished. Now that everything was completed, Krishna sent some internal inspiration to Baladev to bring this pastime to a close. Otherwise, Baladev wouldn't have known anything of it. Baladev said, "My dear brother, I don't understand. Whose Maya is this? Is it the Maya of the demigods? Or Mahamaya? Or whose Maya? This is not my Maya. And if it were the Maya of the demigods or Mahamaya, then I would understand." Then he thought, "O Krishna himself has become all of these boys and calves. Why has he done it?" He asked Krishna, "My dear brother, what is this? Until today I didn't understand, but today I see something unique. Why have you become so many boys and calves also? What is this?" Krishna smiled. To fulfill the desires of so many people and to bewilder Brahma through the medium of his own yogamaya potency, he engineered this pastime. After a little while, Brahma came from his own loka, worried. He had found that there was no place for him in his own loka. Krishna had also assumed the form of Hiranyagarbha Brahma and had gone to Brahma loka. There he told the doorman, "If someone taking my form as Brahma comes here, don't allow him to enter." When Brahma returned to his abode after stealing the boys and calves, 6 months passed. It was only 1 minute for him, but his 1 minute is 6 months for us. He arrived at his Brahma loka and the doorman asked him, "Who are you? Our grandfather Brahma is here, and he has said that if any other four-headed Brahma comes here, he is not allowed to enter. You cannot enter. Stay outside. You must be a creation of Maya." Brahma thought, "Oh, Krishna himself has come here. I have committed an offense at his feet. I must return to earth immediately." In coming back to Braja, another 6 months elapsed, although one earth year had passed. Etach chavrinda vipine gra hantur hritvaba vatsan anubhutam asti shri brahmana. Brihat Bhagavatam 2.4.164. After stealing the cowherd boys and calves, Brahmaji experienced how Krishna is simultaneously one and millions. Eko bako shyam. Krishna is one and becomes many, yet becoming many still remains one. First Brahma saw. Here Krishna is sitting with rice in his hand and eating, just as he was that day 1 year ago. And with him are so many boys and calves. Are they the same ones that I stole, or are they different ones? Is it possible that by his own maya, Krishna has taken them from the cave? Who are they? Which are the real ones? To see about this, he went to Govardhan Hill. He saw that the boys and calves were just as he had left them, sleeping in yoga nidra. Then returning to Krishna, he saw that the boys and calves were also there. He thought, when I come here, Krishna brings the boys and calves here, and when I go to Govardhan, he places them back there. Therefore, with two of his faces and four of his eyes, he looked in the direction of the cave, and at the same time, with the other two faces and four eyes, he looked over to where Krishna was. He saw that the boys and calves were sleeping in the cave, and simultaneously they were eating and drinking with Krishna, performing pastimes. Then suddenly he saw that the entire scene had disappeared, and that all of the boys and calves with Krishna had assumed the forms of four-armed Narayan. In addition, he saw how the human beings, Brahmas, Shankars, demigods, animals and plants and so on, of each and every Brahmand, were all offering prayers to these four-armed Narayans and performing kirtan. Brahma saw that each of the four-armed forms had all of the qualities of the original. All were Satchidananda. All were full of the six opulences. All were Sarva Antaryami. All had 60 qualities of Bhagavan. Only Krishna himself has four more. The boys had so many blankets, sticks, flutes, horns, and other things, and they also assumed four-armed forms. Witnessing this, Brahma became very astonished and began offering prayers. O Bhagavan, first you showed that you were alone, then you showed that all the boys and calves are all Bhagavan, and finally you showed that everything is Bhagavan. Without Bhagavan, nothing can have its existence. No jiva can exist, and no material object can exist. But at the same time, everything is not directly Bhagavan. But I have seen that all the boys and calves are you only. All have the qualities of Bhagavan. It is not that some forms are inferior or superior. After this, I looked again, and all of these forms had disappeared, and only you, Krishna, remained. After witnessing this pastime, Brahma said, O Bhagavan, who can describe the glories of Achintya Shakti? Jananta eva janantu, kim bahuktya name prabho, manasyo vapusho vacho, vaibhavam tavo gocharo. Bhagavatam 10.14.38. Those people who say that they know Bhagavan, that they know the glories of Bhagavan, in reality they know nothing. Until today I also thought like that, but actually I am unable to describe his glories. What to speak of Brahma? Even Krishna himself cannot describe his own glories. He cannot find the depth of the glories of his own name, qualities and form. Assuming the complexion and sentiment of Srimati Radhika, he became Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He descended in this form to investigate his own glories, but he still couldn't find their depth. In this way, Krishna is inconceivable. He is one, but becomes many. He is Mugdha, and simultaneously he is Sarvagya. All contradictory qualities are harmonized in him. Don't attempt to understand this through debate. Only if one is completely surrendered to him can one know a little of his glories. think only of serving Him. Trying to count or measure His glories will only be troublesome. Therefore, Brahma said, I cannot find the depth of your inconceivable glories. The glories of Bhagavan are limitless. Who can find the depth of them? Brahma couldn't, Baladev Prabhu couldn't, even Krishna himself couldn't. Therefore, don't try to fathom the glories of Bhagavan through debate. By rendering service to Him, we will obtain some understanding of His glories. Therefore, we should make an effort only for bhakti. Another reason that Krishna showed this pastime was for the bewilderment of Brahma. In the midst of his life, Brahma was sometimes in illusion, thinking himself to be the master of the entire universe. Once Brahma went to Dwarkapuri to meet with Krishna. Arriving at the gates, he said to the doorman, I have come to see Krishna. The doorman went to Krishna and said, Someone named Brahma has come to see you. Krishna said, Go and ask him which Brahma. The doorman returned and asked, Which Brahma are you? Lord Brahma replied, I am four-headed Brahma, the grandfather of all. The doorman went to Krishna and repeated exactly what Brahma had said. Krishna smiled and thought, I have given him this post, and just see how he has become proud. So Krishna said, Go and call him. Brahma entered the Sudharma assembly hall. In that place, even if millions and millions of people entered, there would still be space for them. It could become very extensive, and it could also become very small. On hot days, it would become cool, and on cold days, it would become warm. Just as one desired, it would become. When Brahma entered, he saw this vast royal assembly hall, and Krishna was seated in the middle. There were millions of other Brahmas present there. The smallest of them, an eight-headed Brahma, was seated in the back. In the front, there were Brahmas with thousands of heads. Their crowns were composed entirely of jewels. And when they were getting up from offering pranams, the sound of the crowns clanging together resounded in the four directions. He saw other Brahmas with 16 heads, others with 64 heads, and all of them were much, much larger than himself. His pride now destroyed, he went and offered his dandavat pranam to Krishna. Getting up, he saw that everything had disappeared and only Krishna was left, smiling. Such are his glories, unlimited. And for one who has gone to Vaikuntha, as Gop Kumar has, he will see that the glories of not just one, but of all the incarnations are like this. Thus ends chapter 6 of Going Beyond Vaikuntha.